It's hard to put into words just what a game changer steam locomotives were. For thousands of years, the fastest any human being could travel was on the back of a horse. Maybe a cheetah if you were brave enough. What that means is that traveling outside your local area wasn't really a thing. Just to simply travel to the next town was a multi-day excursion that required a team of people through bandit-infested forest paths. But then humans figured out that if you could harness the energy of turning water into steam, you could move pistons that could move wheels, that could roll over steel tracks really fast, faster than any human had ever traveled, and for hundreds of miles. Suddenly, humans were traveling outside their local villages and seeing new places, hearing new ideas. This didn't always go over well, but it was a really big deal. The steam engines had one fatal flaw, and that was the extremely high pressures and temperatures that they needed to make it work, which that means if things went bad, they went very bad. So bad that they were eventually replaced. But like all technological dead ends, it took one spectacular disaster to really force things to change. And today we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the one disaster that finally ended the steam engine. The Hindenburg of the rails. On May 13th, 1948, in the town of Chillicothe, Ohio, a farmer by the name of Dick Vincent was sitting on his porch when he heard an incredible explosion. An explosion that shook the windows of his house and knocked his wife's sewing machine to the floor. On hearing this, he knew two things. One, it came from the train track, so it was probably a train. And two, another train was due to come by any minute. So he rushed off to the train tracks to find something from a Lovecraftian nightmare that had completely disabled the tracks and threatened to derail the next train coming through. So, thinking quickly, he grabbed some signal flares and he ran a mile up the road to warn the oncoming train. And yeah, he succeeded. The train came to a stop before it reached the explosion, which probably saved dozens of lives. Dick Vincent. Hero. It was only when he got back to the site of the explosion that Dick realized the true scale of the disaster. The locomotive had been blown to kingdom come, replaced by a mess of twisted metal pipes just splayed out like steaming hot tentacles. As he arrived, he saw helpful townspeople swarming the wreckage, a few of them pulling the engineer out of the cab and laying his lifeless body beside the fireman on the side of the tracks, himself bloody and lifeless. In a nearby yard, a doctor tended to the front brakeman, who was blinded by the accident and covered with second-degree burns, his skin bubbling and peeling all over. He would later die at the hospital. The event became known as the boiler explosion of CNO T1 number 3020, which isn't that catchy of a name, but it was fairly consequential. Because it happened at a time when steam train technology was kind of waning as the engine of choice, and it stands as a bit of a dividing line between the steam age and the diesel age. What happened that fateful day in 1948 was unfortunately a far too common experience. I wouldn't say explosions happened all the time, but they were pretty common. To understand why, it kind of helps to know exactly how these steam locomotives work, so I'll give this quick and dirty explainer. Steam locomotive works by boiling water and then using the increased steam pressure to power pistons. Simple enough. So to see how this works in a locomotive, you can divide it into three parts: the firebox, the boiler, and the smoke box. The firebox is where they burn the fuel for the heat, often being coal, sometimes wood, later on oil. The boiler is basically a large cylindrical water tank turned on its side and filled with water. And the smoke box is where the exhaust from the fire is collected and vented out. Now, you may be wondering why the exhaust is on the other side of the water tank. Well, that's because there's a series of dozens of pipes that pass through the boiler from the firebox to the smoke box, and they carry all that heat from the firebox with it. That, of course, heats the pipes, which heats the water and causes it to boil. The steam in the top of the boiler builds up pressure, and then it collects in the steam dome where it gets piped down to the pistons. Now that's a very simplified version. They were able to get more energy out of the boiler by including superheaters, which direct the steam back through the boiler with dozens, even hundreds of smaller pipes that help heat the water even more and get even more pressure. So in a steam engine, you're constantly monitoring the water level in the boiler and adding just the right amount when needed. You have to monitor the fuel to keep the heat at an even temperature, and of course, accelerating and decelerating are done by manipulating those inputs. So these boilers had to be at extremely high pressures to work, up to 300 psi, which, by the way, also pressurized the water, and the higher the water pressure, the higher the boiling point, so the water in the boiler could get over 400 degrees Fahrenheit before it even boiled. So yeah, when things went wrong on steam engines, they went very, very wrong. The explosion in Chillicothe likely happened because the water in the boiler fell too low during a hill climb. Chillicothe sat on a bit of a plateau, so the train had a slight uphill climb as it approached town, enough to make the water in the boiler slosh back, leaving the pipes exposed. Oh, I should point out that some train crews would actually run the boilers kind of low, because that would create more steam faster. Kind of like if you're running an electric tea kettle, like, it boils a lot faster if you only have one cup in it than if you have four. And yeah, they think that the crew may have been doing that on the 3020 that day, and then when the water sloshed backwards, the pipes overheated. And then the crew added too much water too quickly, which superheated the bare pipes, and then it just explosively flashed into steam. By the way, that metal was already weak from being superheated, so the extra pressure when it hit it just, yeah, it didn't have a chance. So yeah, when the boiler exploded, all those hundreds of tubes in the boiler just splayed out, creating this crazy Cthulhu effect. So the Chillicothe accident was horrible, but it wasn't all that rare. Wikipedia records 53 boiler explosions in locomotives, claiming a total of 155 lives. The earliest recorded incident happened in 1815 when 16 people were killed. The last incident was in the 1995 explosion of a Gettysburg tourist train, which thankfully didn't kill anyone, but it badly burnt the engineer. 1995 is a bit of an outlier, really. 1977 really was the last boiler explosion from a commercial steam train, so we should probably stop counting there. So 53 explosions between 1815 and 1977 comes out to about one every 3 years, with an average death toll of 3 people, which makes sense because it takes 3 people to run it. Although the highest death toll was 26 people. It happened in 1912 in the San Antonio rail yard. There was a strike going on at the time, and it's thought that maybe a railway employee may have sabotaged the locomotive by messing with the safety valves, which caused a buildup of pressure. Yeah, this explosion was a monster, and it happened in a densely populated area, so the damage was extra bad. All the buildings and equipment within 100 feet were demolished, and among the 26 killed were several people who were trapped inside nearby buildings. In fact, one of the victims was a woman named B.S. Gillis, and she died when the locomotive's front end fell through her roof and crushed her. She was 7 blocks away. So was that it? Is that what killed the steam engine? It was too deadly? Well, I mean, clearly things can go very wrong, but 155 deaths is just a drop in the bucket compared to the thousands who died from derailments and collisions and other locomotive disasters. And if you want to keep going with it, those thousands are nothing compared to the 83,000 plus deaths on airplanes since 1970. And we consider that to be the safest form of transportation. Of course, like, proportionally it is. By the way, maritime deaths make both trains and planes sound reasonable. And of course, all other forms of transportation just pale in comparison to the 1.9 million people who die in car accidents every year. Seriously, I'm surprised anybody ever leaves home. So it wasn't, like, an unnecessarily high body count that doomed steam engine, and it wasn't performance that did it in, because actually steam engines were more powerful than the diesel engines that replaced it. I mean, it's kind of like how Beta actually had a better video quality than VHS, but it still lost the video format war. There are other things at play here. So to start with, by the 1950s, steam engine technology was about as good as it was ever going to get. And, look, to be fair, when you really dig into how these engines work, they were kind of marvels of mechanical engineering. But the internal combustion engine was still on the rise, and they had taken over all the roads and the automobiles and trucks, and the petroleum industry was big and powerful and everywhere by that point. Also, diesel was cheap, and it only took one driver instead of three, which also saved money. And it was easier to transport. Yeah, I didn't even talk about this earlier, but part of the locomotive design was the tender cab that was pulled behind the locomotive, which carried both water and coal to fuel it along the way, whereas a diesel locomotive just needed a fuel car filled with diesel. It was also cleaner, believe it or not. It didn't billow out giant clouds of steam and smoke from burning coal, and there were no giant ash pans to clean out. So it was mostly the economics of it and the simplicity of it, but also, I think it's fair to point out, no diesel engine explosions look like this. So is it fair to call the Chillicothe explosion the Hindenburg of rail? Like, no, the Chillicothe explosion wasn't the most consequential boiler explosion in history, but the Hindenburg wasn't the deadliest airship disaster either. It was just the most seen. The Hindenburg disaster was caught on film and played in newsreels all around the country, causing a wave of nopes as far as the eye could see. And this photo has some big nope energy. And it wasn't the only one. There's actually a lot of boiler explosion photos out there, and they all kind of make me not want to get near one. So, I mean, in the same way that the Hindenburg footage was the final nail in the coffin for airships, this photo was at least one of the final nails for steam trains. Still, steam hasn't gone away completely. Tourist trains are still in operation, though under stricter guidelines than in 1995. Internationally, some farms and factories still make use of steam trains. As of 2011 at least, sugar plantations in Java were making use of steam trains to transport their product from the field, and they also charge tourists to ride along. Some enthusiasts are even looking to build next-generation steam technology for modern use. One early effort was the 5AT Advanced Technology Steam Locomotive. It was proposed in 1998, studies were conducted all the way up to 2012, but they were never able to really secure any real financial backing for it, so it just kind of never went anywhere. Concepts for a solar-powered steam engine also exist. One was proposed for testing in Sacramento, but as far as I could find, nothing really came of it. But I did manage to locate a paper out of 2022 from the University of Michigan discussing the viability of a 1/8 scale solar steam train. Both of the Sacramento and the U-Michigan designs were meant to be fireless, meaning they'd either use stored steam or generate steam with fireless heat. According to the U-Michigan paper, a solar steam engine would have all the environmental advantages of conventional solar, meaning no CO2 or nitrous oxide emissions. Which sounds cool, but, you know, considering the solar electric train's already a thing, it doesn't really seem like we'll be adding steam to the mix anytime soon. Not at full scale, anyway. So, steam trains. That was a fun little rabbit hole. Maybe some of you had seen this image and thought, yikes, what's that all about? I thought the same thing, so I looked into it. Now, if you're anything like me, which is to say a layperson at best, I was actually really surprised to find out that steam engines are actually more powerful than diesel engines. Because, I mean, it's older technology. You just assume it's not as powerful. But it is. Steam energy is crazy powerful, and it's really cool once you learn about it, which I did learn about while researching this by taking the scientific thinking course on Brilliant. This course covers all kinds of topics from basic science rules and principles to gears and pulleys to how light works, but there's a specific section on heat transfer that explains how a steam engine works pretty well. Or at least better than I ever understood it. Which, by the way, is par for the course for Brilliant, because it explains these concepts with interactive visuals and puzzles that causes you to make connections that you might not have made otherwise. It's also just so much better than memorizing crap, which is how I was taught in school, and I think I struggled a lot because of that. And what's even better about the Brilliant model is that this scientific thinking course starts at the very basics. Like, they make sure you totally understand everything before you move on to the next thing, and then you move on to the next thing, and the next thing, and that's how you get from this is how refrigerators work to orbital mechanics and quantum entanglement. If you're more on the computer tech side of things, you can learn about neural networks and LLMs. Basically supervillain training, assuming you want to be a supervillain. Who doesn't want to be a supervillain? So it's easy to start a daily learning habit with Brilliant, so you can get just a little bit smarter each day, and then think about how much smarter you'd be after a month or a year. I found it to be helpful not just for understanding concepts for videos, but it also works on your problem-solving muscle, which helps you out in ways that you may not even realize. To try everything Brilliant has to offer for free for a full 30 days, just visit brilliant.org/answerswithjoe or click on the link in the description. You'll also get a 20% off your annual premium subscription. Brilliant's awesome, and they've actually been supporting this channel for a really long time. So signing up doesn't just help you out, it also helps out this channel. So once again, brilliant.org/answerswithjoe, links down in the description. All right, thanks a lot for watching. If this is your first time here, this is kind of what I do on this channel. And thank you for watching, and I invite you to check out some of my other videos. Maybe this one right here on airships would be a good thing to jump to, because I talked about the Hindenburg. Or you could take a look down on the sidebar over here if you're on your browser. Any of those thumbnails that have my picture on them, you can go check them out. And if you like them, I invite you to subscribe, because I'm just going to keep doing this. Big special thanks to the Patreon supporters and channel members who are supporting this channel and keeping the lights on and forming an awesome community. Love you guys. Couldn't do without you. You can go to patreon.com/answerswithjoe or just click the join now button down below if you would like to get exclusive perks right along with them. But I think that's it for today. You guys go out there, have an eye-opening rest of the week. Stay safe, and I'll see you next time. Love you guys. Take care.